Today on the program, we've got an incredible power couple that are really making waves in the world of healthcare entrepreneurship. They're the founders of a startup company called Imaginostics. In their venture, they're introducing a revolutionary technology that is really making waves in the MRI field, improving MRIs by up to tenfold, with some really important applications ranging from early detection of many age-related diseases, such as Alzheimer's and kidney disease. Join us as we discuss the journey from their idea conception to execution, while navigating various hurdles and sharing some priceless advice that I think can help any healthcare entrepreneur. Stay tuned for an in-depth discussion about this groundbreaking technology and how it's really stirring up the field of medical imaging and its impact on the future. My interview with Dr. Cody and Valerie Garaguzlu on this episode of Bootstrap MD.
Welcome to Bootstrap MD, the Physician Entrepreneurs Podcast, your source to help you, the entrepreneurial doctor, live life on your own terms. Get new ideas and inspiration to help you find more balance in your professional life. If you're ready to get the knowledge without all the hype, you've come to the right place. It's the Bootstrap MD Podcast. And now your host, Dr. Mike Wu Ming.
Hey, happy to announce something really cool that you won't want to miss. We just launched The Lounge. This is a free weekly newsletter tailored just for you, the physician entrepreneur and investor. You're going to stay ahead with the latest news in tech trends, entrepreneurial strategies, alternative investing, and passive income tips. And there's so much more, all designed to further your career and financial goals, delivered straight to your inbox every week. We'll also be spotlighting fellow physician entrepreneurs, sharing success stories, and providing valuable lessons from peers who are navigating the same exciting path that you are. No cost, no hassle, just important insights delivered straight to you every week. To sign up, just go to bootstrapmd.com/thelounge and subscribe today. It's 100% free. Once you enter the lounge, get ready to start shaping your future now. Hey guys, this is Dr. Mike Wu Ming. Welcome to another edition of Bootstrap MD. This is the podcast for physician and healthcare entrepreneurs. You know, I've been saying for years, you know, if you have an idea, a product, a service that you think could be beneficial to mankind, you should be shouting out to the heavens. You just can't keep it on to yourself. And that's what happened with this couple. The company is called Imaginostics. It's a startup company. It was founded in 2018, where they're bringing to market a revolutionary longevity technology for early detection of diseases decades in advance through MRIs. The company's technology uses a new way to acquire data from existing MRI scanners and hardware, improving MRIs by 10x and enabling new physiologic measurements that describe the cellular vascular environment, representing a potential breakthrough for early diseases of many age-related diseases, early detection of many age-related diseases, such as Alzheimer's disease and related dementia. It was founded by my following guests, a French-American couple who met in France in 2007, married in 2010, have two children. The physician, or the doctor, is Dr. Garaguzlu, who's invented and developed a breakthrough quantitative imaging technology during his PhD in bioengineering at Northeastern University, with postdoc research fellowship at Harvard-affiliated Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. Valerie, his wife, inspired Cody to launch a startup to bring his tech from bench to bedside. So that was my introduction for you folks, but I don't think I did it justice. I want to welcome to the program Dr. Cody and Valerie Garaguzlu. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you, Dr. Mike.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, again, that was a mouthful. You have so many extraordinary achievements, but I want to hear it from you. And Dr. Cody, I'd like to start with you. Tell me about kind of your background and what kind of led you to this journey, in a journey that actually came out what you described as a faith, love, and science.
Yeah, so my background, my undergraduate's in physics and mechanical and nuclear engineering. So I've always been fascinated with nuclear physics. And at the same time, I've wanted to do something that helps people in healthcare. And so I got a master's in biophotonics, which is essentially imaging with light matter interactions, a lot of laser technologies. And, you can image, within a millimeter of tissue. It's mainly cellular work. So there's applications there, but I really wanted to get into medical imaging so we could get it to the human body. And then, what I really noticed was among the different modalities that are available in medical imaging, MRI stands out as the modality that, you know, can image inside the body, high resolution, soft tissue, right? But the sort of, you know, longstanding drawback of MRI has been the qualitative nature of the imaging. So you get these images that are really appropriate for visual interpretation, but there are no numbers that quantify the physiology. So it's really more about looking at the individual level at anatomical details. And so I started out my PhD just reading papers 12 hours a day for 6 months and sort of theorized a new way to do MRI. And then I sat down at an MRI scanner and did a lot of small animal work for about 6 years. Yeah. And so that's kind of how I got started.
So Valerie, how did you get into the picture here? And maybe tell us of your background.
Sure. So I'm a lawyer by background. I'm originally from France, color-coded to the United States. I went back to law school, became an attorney in New York. My background is more into international human rights, immigration. I was lawyer entrepreneur with my own practice based in Boston, Massachusetts. So I was, you know, we've been married for more than 10 years. Cody spoke about his science like every single day. And it took me 6 years to understand the importance of this technology because it's, you know, I mean, based on nuclear physics, it's a very intensive, like scientifically. And when I understood that, I was like, this is amazing. You know, I wish we had that at the hospital. So what, you know, inspired me to tell Cody we need to, you know, create a company. It was really like the desire to translate from the bench, you know, from the lab to the bedside and bring it to people at the hospital.
Now, that journey or the convincing of start of a company probably wasn't easy. You know, most, you know, PhD students who then become graduates usually work for some big, expensive Fortune 500 company. You know, you said you were at the time just kind of working with some studies on animals. How did that transition? I mean, you had this idea. Was it like, you know, should I tell my superiors about this? Is this something that they can integrate? Tell me about that process.
Yeah, so when I did my postdoc at Mass General Hospital for a couple of years, I, you know, transitioned from mice and rats to monkeys and humans. Still doing, you know, rat work, but especially in genetically modified models. But, you know, we by the end of my term there, we were able to get the first images of the human brain. And then so sort of demonstrated the proof of concept, you know, and we got these stunning images. And when my postdoctoral fellowship ended, we decided to, you know, thanks to Valerie's courage here, we decided to have a startup. And fortunately, we were funded early on by physician investors. Mm-hmm. You know, the leader of that group is an orthopedic surgeon that founded a hospital. And so that was really, we couldn't have got started without that.
Is Dr. Mike too, is the same name? Dr. Mike.
Another doctor.
Okay, we have a lot of Mike support.
Oh, that's good. That's a good name to follow there.
But yeah, I think we were really blessed to have, you know, the right type of support like early on with angel investors, physicians who understood the importance of the technology for the medical field. And yeah, we were really blessed in that sense. And it was really early on, like I would say pre-seed almost, because Cody had to finish like his publications and, you know, scientific publications, and he was still filing patents. So it was really early on.
As a doctor, I wasn't used to asking for help, especially when it came to subjects outside of medicine. But then I found physiciancoaches.com. In an instant, I found hundreds of experts to help me in all aspects of life. On areas I was afraid to ask. Dealing with burnout, starting a side gig, money management, even help with my marriage. And the best part? Nearly all experts are physicians themselves. After reading their profile and a quick chat, I knew I found the right mentor for me. At physiciancoaches.com, help from professional colleagues is just a click away.
Yeah, so as you know, here at Bootstrap MD, we have our audience is filled with entrepreneurs who maybe started their business, or maybe going through that journey, and have gone through that process of raising funds, getting their slide decks ready, and presenting. How was that for you? Because it doesn't sound like, or maybe it does. Did you have a background in entrepreneurship with like family members or
you have all type of entrepreneurship. Right, Cody started at 13 years old. He was parking cars in his yard. It was like his first, and selling maybe sodas. As
earlier an entrepreneur. Than that, yeah, that's for the K-State home football game. So,
but I do want to say a special thanks to my team partner Chase Liu, Atelier Chase Liu, because he really mentored us a lot. He's a business, lawyer, business consulting, and business lawyer. And I think I learned so much from him as a lawyer, but as well, he mentored us a lot at the beginning when we started the company to understand all those things, about founding a company and what you need to look for. And so, yeah, we had definitely his support and mentorship.
Yeah. And I think, we were in Boston, in Cambridge, Massachusetts. So we were in quite an innovation ecosystem at the Cambridge Innovation Center. So I was able to meet a lot of different founders and see what kind of technologies were being commercialized, what type of products people were commercializing. And, I really realized how important our technology was there, similar to, going to scientific conferences, right? So ISMRM is sort of the MRI conference. So I'm an MRI physicist. And, it was when I was starting to go to those conferences that I really realized how important that our technology was. And so I think similarly on the sort of as an entrepreneur, kind of comparing, technologies, understanding the importance of it there in terms of commercialization, sort of a 0-to-1 technology, right? And quite paradigm shifting. So kind of made me feel good and kind of reinforced the idea that, yeah, this needs to get out there. We have to commercialize this.
And we were part of like an ecosystem of entrepreneurship at the Impact Hub, at the CIC Cambridge in Boston. So every day we talk to entrepreneurs and it was really, encouraging, very supportive and collaborative environment. This really helped us to get started.
So, the entrepreneurship journey, seems to be never ending. And I'd like again to kind of take you back to those early days, where were you in the process of, going out and seeking investors? Important, term in entrepreneurship is having the MVP, right? The minimum viable product. But when you were going out to these investors and you said you successfully got some, your early investors were mostly physicians, where were you in the process? Did you already have it all kind of fleshed out? Was it still an idea, in your head? And maybe just talking about that, because if it's still an idea, it's kind of a difficult, no matter how persuasive you can be for them to start putting their money where their mouth is. So maybe talk about those kind of early days. And maybe what was the one thing that led them to say, I really believe in what you're doing, Cody, and I want to be part of it.
Yeah, I mean, we had convincing biomarker data, that was published in small animals. We have those images and what they look like. And it's a really novel way to make vascular images. And they look incredible. And then because I was able to do the sort of first in human studies at Mass General Hospital, we had beautiful looking images of the brain. And so I think that's part of, sort of having that prototype, I think was critical to get the investment. And at the same time, that initial investment was really geared towards more prototyping, right? So we kind of had, one kind of working prototype to get some images, but now we need to sort of refine it. And so we took that money and went and worked with academic collaborators who, to sort of stretch the dollar as far as we could, right? So found the best in the field, started working with, Peter Larson, who's a professor at UCSF, that really, from ISMRM is where I met this guy, and he's an incredible imager. And so we worked there with him and got sort of went from alpha to beta versions. Later on, we, licensed a specific sequence. So we have a whole sequence that we licensed from UW Madison with another professor there. And so we had a MVP in mind and were essentially building it and raised the funds to build it. Yeah.
I also want to add is also the importance of relationships, we were introduced. So I think when investors, you know, invest at such an early stage, they need to believe in the team, they need to believe in the, you know, in the founders. So, I mean, again, we were blessed to have, you know, the introduction. I think relationships are fundamental, because when you understand the person and, you know, what drives them, you know, and that they're not going to give up, they're really passionate about bringing this technology to the market. That's where, you know, people are, you know, not only believe in the technology, the potential, but as well in the strengths of the team to really achieve, you know, the goals. So, yeah, I think it was a good combination. And, you know, I mean, I think there is a timing factor too. Like, things have evolved a lot in 5 years. But I remember when, you know, Cody started to work on Alzheimer's research project, at that time, you know, we had feedback from experts that didn't recognize the value of the vascular, you know, aspect of the disease progression. This has evolved, like, you know, in the past 2 or 3 years, I guess. And now we do have the support, you know, from experts in that field. So I think in terms of timing, how technology fits well with what we know in the field, you know, in the medical field. And people understand, you know, the value that it can bring. And just to add one more thing, one more thought for, you know, to think about, is that our goal is really to change the paradigm of care, to switch from curative to preventative. So that's what we're working on, you know, in terms of long-term vision. So it's really like a breakthrough platform technology that we're building.
Now, I think this would be a good opportunity to actually kind of dive into the technology. I think I listened to an interview you did talking about MRI and kind of the state of MRI. And I think, and then you can correct me, I think you said that it hasn't changed that much. It's still in the Stone Age. Maybe you want to elaborate and talk about how your technology is transforming and making a giant paradigm shift into what we're currently looking at.
Yeah.
And I want to add to your question that why MRI? Because Cody is actually an imaging expert. Why did you choose MRI for your PhD?
Yeah.
I mean, right. So, again, so, you know, okay. So in medical imaging, I mean, you really have an infinite modalities, right? You've got CT, which is great, but, you know, there's radiation exposure. You're not really, you know, looking at tissue per se. You're looking more at like bone and high density things. You can use iodine contrast and you can try to get some information there. But it is not appropriate necessarily for interrogating soft tissue, right? You've got positron emission tomography, which is really great for quantification, you know, femtomolar type sensitivity. But what you're really looking at there is, you know, specific targeting of your agent to some moiety, right? And so if you want to look at an amyloid plaque or a tau, you know, protein or something very specific, there's, you know, nothing better than PET imaging. But if you want to characterize tissue sort of in a more abstract way, like, you know, quantifying the vasculature of the tissue, it's not, you know, quite appropriate. Ultrasound is great, but, you know, limited in resolution and, you know, and so MRI just stands out, right? And so that's why, that's sort of why I picked MRI. And then why I say that it's sort of not changed a lot is because, you know, well, first of all, what I really care about is that you have a technology that clinician can use and you get some useful information for that patient, right? And so far, what we see with MRI biomarkers is it works great at the group level. You know, if you want to look at, for example, blood-brain barrier leakage, you can use gadolinium-based contrast agent imaging with DCE MRI, dynamic contrast enhanced MRI. You can see group level statistics. You can see blood-brain barrier leakage. That's how we know now that, for example, people with mild cognitive impairment have blood-brain barrier leakage. Now, those tech, you know, there's fMRI, you can do all kinds of things. Some of it, you know, doesn't necessarily have a direct physiological significance per se, like default mode network and so on. But even if you're doing like task-based fMRI, where, you know, you have to have some repetitive tasks to get the signal out for, you know, so it's just everything's sort of limited. You're not really able to get individual level significant results that are useful in the clinic. The one thing that I see that's, you know, and even with arterial spin labeling, we're looking at blood flow. That's a powerful technique. But again, it's not quite sensitive enough to be used by clinicians. It's got a low SNR, you know, long scan times. And again, you know, errors in the inside of the brain. And you're just not able to get that individual level significant measurement, you know, DTI and so on. The one measurement that I've seen time and time again that sort of works is the size of brain regions, you know, the anatomical delineation of brain regions. But by the time brain regions are sort of shrinking, I think that's a little bit too late. You know, that significance for the individual level is like deep into Alzheimer's. But we want, you know, let's say before somebody has cognitive impairment, you see something, right? And so that anatomical shrinking of brain regions is quite limited. You can look at vascular related features like white matter hyperintensities, right? So you know there's some ischemic burden there, but trying to use those, you know, as biomarkers, they're moving around, they're changing in size, but you can't quantify the ischemic burden. And so again, we're limited right now in MRI with for the individual level measurements for, you know, essentially just looking visually at these MRI images by a trained radiologist and picking things out, you know, some kind of anatomical feature, maybe some kind of something that screams at you like a gross abnormality.
And I once you had that a lot of like the ad MRI or a lot of like AI company are developing out there to have a faster time of acquisition on the MRI machine, or to have like, you know, maybe faster diagnosis. We differ from that because the technology is based on quantum physics. So it's a deep tech. And what's going to change is like the acquisition is different. So Cody, do you want to explain a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, just so, you know, everyone can be clear kind of what it is we're doing. So it's a different approach to imaging, much like arterial spin labeling or DTI or flare imaging, all these different modalities that are used to, it's a different physical approach to data acquisition that gives you some different type of image in MRI. So we have cutesy MRI, which is quantitative ultra short time to echo contrast enhanced MRI. And it's another flavor of MRI. The objective of that imaging approach is to create essentially a 3D volume where the signal can be quantified by basic fundamental equations. So the spoiled gradient echo equation. So we get this quantitative sort of imaging signal in this volume of interest. And before, you know, so, but then what we do is we enhance the vascular compartment with a contrast agent. We don't use gadolinium. For different reasons. One, it's sort of toxic, right? Now we know it accumulates in the brain of healthy people. It's not for preventative diagnostics. Also, it's got a short blood half-life, so it's being excreted sort of rapidly from the blood. And so we do use an iron supplement. So we use ferumoxytol. It's approved for iron anemia. It's been around for over 20 years. Now it's generically available. And it's a nanoparticle formulation, so it stays inside the blood unless it's like very leaky, for example, blood-brain barrier. And so we can use that quantitative signal and that intravascular contrast to get these positive contrast images that are very beautiful, higher resolution, better than these gadolinium images as judged by radiologists, and then quantify the partial volume of blood in each volume element that's filled with blood. So we can say, you know, we see those beautiful vessels, but then also in those areas where it's just, you know, 5% blood, we can say, is it 5% blood? Is it 6% blood? You know, should it be 6%? But now it's ischemic. And so it's 3%. Like, so we quantify that. And then what we can do is we can use that quantitative measurement of, for example, the blood volume and do it in a functional way. So we can look at the vasodilatory response. And so we do that with a hypercapnic challenge. So for example, the patient will breathe in 5% CO2, 95% air. That's going to make all the blood vessels dilate. And so we can measure those dynamics. We can measure the actual vascular reserve, which is essentially how much can those vessels dilate because CO2 is such a potent vasodilator. And then we can put back on the air and look at the dynamics of things sort of coming back to normal. And so we can do the structure, which is the small vessel density, the function, which is those vascular dynamics, and the leakage, for example, blood-brain barrier leakage. So structure, function, and leakage. And so those are the type of quantitative measurements we make at the individual level at each voxel in space.
This podcast is sponsored by Doc-to-Doc Lending. Are you a physician looking to consolidate your loans or maybe start a new project like opening up your own clinic? Doc-to-Doc Lending understands the unique financial challenges you face and is here to support you every step of the way. You can benefit from low interest rates, a lightning fast approval process, and personalized loan options tailored exclusively for physicians. This company was founded by doctors for doctors. Don't let financial limitations hold you back any longer. Visit bootstrapmd.com/doc-to-doc to unlock your path into financial freedom today. That's bootstrapmd.com/doc-2-doc, and you can get started right away. Doc-to-Doc Lending helps empower physicians one loan at a time. I this has been great. So let's talk about, as you know, there are a lot of physicians who may be listening to this, anywhere from primary care physicians like myself, radiologists, neurologists. Let's talk about the clinical applications. We briefly discussed about like Alzheimer's disease and more as a tool, and you're evaluating in terms of prevention. Let's discuss this. What are the clinical applications of your technology?
Yeah, so, you know, Alzheimer's disease is sort of near and dear to my heart, right? So I was, for example, the co-chair of the Alzheimer's Association Business Consortium for a couple of years, just finished that term. A lot of my research has been in neurology, especially in genetically modified animals for Alzheimer's disease. So in terms of early detection, you know, what we've seen in the small animals, you know, for example, on an APOE4 genetically knock-in animal model, was that very early on, before there's any manifestation of cognitive impairment, for example, a 20-year-old human equivalent in these APOE4 genetically modified rats, we see increases in small vessel density, right? So with neurodegenerative disease, you know, you think you're going to find some decrease in the small vessel density, you're going to get, you know, all that brain shrinking and things, but then all that happens much later on. So we were able to map out with super high significance, right, individual level stuff, that early on in more than half of the brain of these animals, they've got an increase in small vessel density. So that means that there's some kind of chronic problem that the brain is now compensating for that metabolic dysfunction by doing that. And then
we have applications in neurology. So like, you know, Alzheimer's is one, Parkinson's, stroke, like rare disease as well. Like, so a lot of application in neurology, but not limited to neurology, because the technology will work in any type, you know, in all the organs. So there are application in cardiology as well, the application in cancer for inflammation as well. And we can also image in and around stainless steel vascular implant as well. So what we've been doing is that we've been as well applying for grants as non-dilutive equity funding to pursue those different applications. It takes a lot of time because we have to, like, you know, develop collaborations, you know, with different hospitals, with different experts, LIFO funding. So right now we're more like developed in the Alzheimer's, you know, sector. But the idea is to have, you know, to develop all those applications. Traumatic brain injuries as well is one of the applications. It's really like a longevity technology in the sense that it's, you know, in terms of impact, it has a lot of different applications in neurology, cancer, cardiology, and other, you know, disease. But because we are able to detect, you know, like change in the vascular, the idea is to really like detect disease like decades in advance. So what we, you know, one of the reasons why actually we relocated to Orlando is to work with a leader in preventative diagnostics. So it's a private clinic. And the idea is to offer like full body MRI scans, you know, with heart technology. They also use different type of techniques and between, you know, blood biomarkers, heart technology, different AI, like, you know, see if, you know, how we can help to detect disease, you know, so like if you know that you might have a stroke, you know, then you go to see your doctor and, you know, see if there are things that you can implement to stay healthy, you know. So the idea is really like to help change medical care where people will be able to see the doctor maybe in their 20s, you know, and detect those diseases like decades in advance. So they go see the doctor, but not when they are sick, really when to have a preventative treatment plan, you know. Yeah. And I, you know, we believe that we can achieve that. So in a way, we are a piece of the puzzle of longevity, because we can help with those really advanced diagnostic at the individual level for precision medicine. But we can also help, you know, the pharma, like biotechs, with how endpoints to measure the efficacy of their novel drugs, you know, especially anti-aging drugs.
Right. So, yeah, go ahead.
Those are the sort of the vision and sort of long-term play, right? And so, you know, we do have biomarkers of aging. And if there's any, you know, deviation in the vascular structure function or leakage, such as in Alzheimer's, you know, or other diseases, we can see that. In the short term, I mean, so now we finally have opened up a regulatory pathway by working with, you know, some of these big MRI manufacturers. And so now we can get our pulse sequence software cleared. And then we're bringing to market our vascular imaging solution. It'll be available within a couple of years. And so then it'll be everywhere. And so first we're, you know, because there's the 10x better MRI and there's all those precision medicine imaging biomarkers for all these diseases. So we're raising money to go to market with just the vascular imaging technology and focusing in on patients who are contraindicated to gadolinium. So every year there's 40 million MRI scans in the US, 20 million with gadolinium. And patients who have chronic kidney disease, if they have CKD stage 4 or 5, they're absolutely contraindicated to gadolinium. But if they, you know, the 37 million Americans who have CKD, it'd be better as well if they, you know, didn't get the gadolinium, even if they have stages 1 to 3. And so we know that there's at least 1 million scans that are not undergone because of contraindication and concern for, you know, nephrogenic systemic fibrosis and these type of things. So we want to first start into that market. And then sort of open up into the more, you know, larger market sort of, you know, for anybody who doesn't want gadolinium, because it is a 10x better scan. So that's sort of our go to market is just the vascular imaging solution. We have a really excellent strategy here and excellent partners as well. And then that's that sort of 2-year approach, right? Just the vascular imaging solution and sort of getting into beachhead markets and expanding. And then in parallel, again, we're going after these biomarker-based solutions through non-dilutive funding, and that will be, you know, in the future, our focus where we really expand to really even larger markets. You know, if somebody gets hit in the head, they got a concussion, a TBI, you got suspected, you know, cognitive impairment. There's so many different applications then in really huge markets with unmet needs that we're, you know, we're following up even now through non-dilutive funding.
Yeah, this is really exciting. And just talking about, you know, just going back to your example about, you know, Alzheimer's, right? You know, we just, yeah, they're having cognitive decline. And yes, the MRI shows that there is a decrease in brain matter, but then what are you going to do? So we know that in Alzheimer's, there is abnormal blood, you know, vasculature. And that's probably the time to start really having early intervention versus just like seeing it. So, and again, you know, with your example of the gadolinium, you know, effects on the renal vasculature and chronic kidney disease, obviously there is millions of people who are do not have the ability to use that. So very exciting. And again, you shared us all the different conditions. And for those who are listening to this and maybe they're looking to learn more about your company, perhaps maybe interested in maybe investing, as you had mentioned that as well, what's the best place where they can go and find out more about Imagenostics?
Yeah, so we've got Imagenostics.com. So that's the website. You can email me at Cody, C-O-D-I, at Imagenostics.com, and Valerie, V-A-L-E-R-I-E, at Imagenostics.com. You know, you can reach out to us on LinkedIn as well. We're sort of active there.
And just Imagenostics stands for Imaging Diagnostics.
Imaging plus diagnostics. I know, like, the imagine is kind of fun. Because yeah. Imagination, but that's just a bonus. I think it's imaging plus diagnostics. So.
I love the name. I love the name. Cody and Valerie, again, it's been a pleasure to learn about you, to meet you and learn more about your technology. Maybe if you give us like one last advice to maybe the entrepreneur or the wantrepreneur out there who's in healthcare, who's got an idea, maybe had seen some things that they're currently doing and wants to move forward, but they're not quite sure. Any advice for that person?
For me, I mean, like, reach out, you know, like, talk to people, find your tribe. That's my best advice. And it took us a long time, actually, because, you know, we didn't really know how to define ourselves. So we understood that we were deep tech compared to, like, you know, just digital health, or we're not as well a med tech because we don't have any hardware. We're not a biotech because we don't propose, you know, therapeutics. We help biotech with their therapeutics. But yeah, we, you know, after we understood, like, we are a deep tech, we are longevity tech, we reach out to the different, you know, ecosystem. And I'll say, you know, don't stay isolated, like, join a program, an incubator, just get started, you know, get started and make some connections. And I know that there are some programs as well where they match you with potential co-founders. So, like, if you're a physician and you want to, you know, match with someone with a background in business or computer science, you know, go to those, like, events and, you know, ecosystem events, because that's how you're going to meet, you know, your ideal team and co-founders.
Wonderful. Cody, any words from you?
No, I think Valerie is amazing. I think her, I think that's right. I think it's more about who,
One last maybe shout out for Edo's program.
There are some, there are some programs such as, I was in Edo Tall's program called Raise the Round, right? And there's all kinds of different entrepreneurs in there, and they teach you, how to build the deck, how to reach out to people, how what do you say? How do you, so from A to Z sort of in fundraising. And so there are places to learn those skills, and they are skills, and you need some kind of crash course on it. So that's, I would definitely recommend Edo's Raise the Round course. I thought that was really helpful. Plus you start to meet other entrepreneurs in there as well. And maybe that was the most important thing from that group for me, was just the people themselves and the encouragement. Yeah.
There was a Facebook group, a WhatsApp group. And I remember when we got started, it was so hard to explain the technology in 10 seconds, So Edo is the one who said, but you have a deep tech platform technology, it will take more than 10 seconds for you. Because sometimes you have, expectation from what people tell you. It's not applying to you. You might be the exception compared to the rule. And we learned that with Edo,
Oh, wonderful. And then I might add too, it does help that you're in a area. I mean, I know with Zoom and everything, we're getting connected, but it does help that you're in an area where, startups are around, you've got entrepreneurship. I was in an incubator here in San Diego as well. And it's kind of being around, to be able to network and learn from these folks that you had mentioned that as well.
And we moved to an area as well, which has, it's like a health cluster here in Lake Nona Medical City. We co-working members of the Gladwell Innovation Centers. So it's really, they always organize conference about the health sector, the future of health. So we actually took a picture we posted on LinkedIn, and behind on the background is like reimagining the future of health. I mean, we come to work and we know what, that really remind us, what we are working for, And so I think, finding your tribe, whether it's your office space, co-working space, or a virtual group, it's really important.
Well, Dr. Coden and Valerie, thank you again. Imaginostics, well, we'll put out the links. If anybody wants to reach out to you, we'll have that in the show notes as well. Thank you for your time. We'll let you get back to the lab, back to work, and keep fighting the good fight.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for listening. As always, as entrepreneurs, you can have your ups and downs. Do something little each day to get you closer to your goals and keep moving forward.
You've just listened to the Bootstrap MD podcast. For more valuable resources, as well as past recordings of our show, check out our website at bootstrapmd.com. Now, let's get to work.